This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers training and education for referees of all levels. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMO Observer and Southwest Pool Observer and Coordinator and my mentor, Richard Mellon.
Good afternoon, Darren.
Thank you very much. Just to say, it is an afternoon at the time of recording because we chop and change our recording times and preferences. Okay, let's move on. Hello to you if you're a new listener, maybe a new subscriber. Thank you very much for doing that as well. Here's how it works. When we start the discussion, we'll have about 20 minutes to cram it in, okay? And of course, if you would like to get in touch or have a discussion about some stuff that we've touched on in the past, then we're always keen to hear from you. And you could email through the website refereesworld.co.uk and click on the contact button. And today, Rich, what are we going to discuss?
Well, let's have a little chat about man management. Get man management, player management, game management, whatever you wish to describe it.
And before we go into that, I just need to quickly update you on something. Do you remember a few episodes ago we talked about putting your cards in your pockets?
I do.
Out of habit, I've always had mine in my book, in my back pocket. And we obviously established that that's not really a cool, trendy way these days to get your book out and take your card out, blah, blah, blah. So it's a case of me having to learn to have my cards.
So how have you got on then?
Well, if you recall...
Sounds like you've had some fun, yeah?
Well, do you know what? As you recall, you did say don't practice this kind of thing on the field of play. Do it off the field of play, at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Do some fun stuff with the kids, perhaps. And since we had that discussion, I've had my cards in my trousers pocket wherever I've been, literally, because this is the first time we've had a recording session for 2 or 3 weeks. And I've had my cards, and I'll show you. He says, standing up. There you go. Carry them around with me, left and right. Yellow in the left pocket, red in the right pocket. And I've carried around with me like that ever since. And I do it with the kids. When the kids behave, now I get them a yellow card out or a red card. They like that. They have a bit of fun with it. But now I'm comfortable and I automatically go straight for the pocket that I need to go for,
so
which was going to be my worry.
Just remind our listeners, why have you got them in those particular pockets?
So yellow is leave on the field of play, left leg. Red is remove from the field of play, right leg.
Yeah, that's good. That's the way I look at it. That's the easiest way in which to remember where your cards are.
And you know what? It's worked.
Practice, even when I've gone
out running with my mate Brian, I keep them in my shorts when I'm out running. I've just kept them with me. Yeah. A bit like good luck charms and stuff.
Practice.
Right, okay, let's crack on. We've got 20 minutes starting now.
Okay, let's go.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about man management. Now, Rich, that is a can of worms that we could open up and just feed from for months and months and months.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much that is linked into player management, game management, man management. Whatever description you want to give it, it involves players and looking after the game. Where to start? Let's just... give you a few sort of pointers and see.
I was going to say,
give me some
ideas, some examples of man management then.
Okay.
And we'll pick through them one by one.
Man management, I mean, buzzword is communication. Mm. How does communication come across?
When you say,
methods.
What do you mean?
Methods of communication.
Well, okay, so whistle, I would have thought.
Hey, good start.
Verbally.
Okay.
Be big, strong and loud, I would have thought.
Okay, careful with the loud bit.
Okay.
It's all got to be... Got to have a value, got to be
okay.
Relevant.
I say loud, be heard.
Okay.
Is what I'm referring to.
Know how to use it, where to use it.
Yeah.
Be heard to use it, using a strong admonishment to a player when you're quite near to the benches. You don't have to be talking to the benches, but make sure they know what you're saying to the player.
Visual as well. So your signals, communicate with the... because there will be, on a day that's fairly windy or blustery, somebody on the opposite side of the field of play may not know what you're saying, but need to know the information.
Yeah, and your whistle may not carry.
No, it may not carry. But if they can see with your arms and your movements,
so
they should be able to pick up an idea as to what it is you're trying to communicate with.
Okay, so you've used verbal communication.
Yep.
Non-verbal communication is what you touched on there as well. Non-verbal communication involves a lot of things, gestures, emotions, communication via signals. So it's all a case of how you use your signals. Describe the signal I'm giving to you at the moment, Dan.
So I was just about to say, because this is obviously audio, you can't really see what Rich is doing. But Rich is doing that thing when you want to ask people to calm down. You put your arms out in front of you and they're going up and down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Calm down. Yeah. Calm down. Quiet and down. That's very...
How else would you use the signal, two hands?
In
it's apologetic, isn't it?
When somebody says let's imagine that you're apologizing to somebody, you go, okay, I'm sorry, and you sort of you put your hands up like that in that position, as though a Western cowboy has got his gun out of his holster to
Clint Eastwood's just walking town.
Exactly.
Let me say to you, what does that mean? Tell the listeners what I'm doing.
Right, so Rich has now got his arms in front of him and rolling them over each other in a washing machine style. Does that mean wind it up? I would use that as a wind up.
We're talking about the field of play.
Field of play here. So you're... go on, you're going to have to help me with that
one. What about... Come on.
Come on, move it on.
Let's
let's keep going. Yeah, speed it up, pace it up a bit, yeah.
Or what might the technical areas do? Ref.
Sub, yep.
Okay.
Give us a clue, this, isn't it?
Sounds like catchphrase.
Yeah.
You know?
Sub, yeah.
Signals, gestures, non-verbal communication mean a lot for the referee. Your body language, your posture, your expressions carry a lot of relevance to how you're portraying your understanding of what you've seen and how you... describe it. It sets a tolerance within everything else that comes.
And not just for the referee, but for the referee's assistants, because before comms were used, body signals were a very strong part of your communication with the man in the middle.
But comms are only used at certain levels towards the elite.
Even now then.
Even grassroots referees don't have the luxury of comms kits as much as some would like to use them. You know, comms kits have got a value, but they need to be understood and used properly.
As Richard said, comms kits do have their role. Not everybody uses them at every level. And we're actually going to do an experiment with a comms kit. Once I managed to blag one from somewhere, didn't have much luck with that company in the Netherlands, but we move on to the next one. That's another story for another day. But just going back to the whole assistant referee using their body language as a signal to get in touch with the referee and the importance of it.
The basics of assistant referee, back to those basics as I described, eye contact. Mm. Eye contact. If you don't make eye contact, how do you expect to get decisions in sync? You know, and those are important things. And of course, a lot of our referees, listeners, don't have qualified assistant referees running the line for them. They got club assistant referees. So, you know, that's a different ball game as well. But going on to the management of the game, player management, man management requires self-discipline. Mm. You know, I do understand that some of our colleagues are out there and... showing disrespect to some players, which is not a good practice, and I would ask people to, you know, don't apply it, don't follow it, and I discourage it straight away.
Another one of those signals that you can use visually is cutting the grass, no penalty.
Okay, you've got to be careful using that one. Give it the value, because I've seen referees use it in the centre field when people are calling for a foul, and you know, cut the grass too often, it loses a value. It has best value, biggest value when there's decisions to be made in the penalty area. And so in the centre field, using that one, I think it's lost. Mm. I don't think it's got a good value. It's overused and it becomes,
diluted.
It's diluted. It becomes a blind signal and it doesn't work.
You have advantage, which we've also talked about before, where you put your arms for an advantage.
Yeah. Arms or arm?
Arm or arm. Ah, yeah, of course. This is something we touched on a while back, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It has changed. So whereas before you would put both arms out in front of you or up in the air, but now it's moved. It's just one arm out in front of you.
Mm. Let's go back. You mentioned whistle quite early in the conversation. You know, the using the whistle to express what you're trying to get across to the players, to those watching, as regards accepted, not accepted. Okay, that's a foul. Peep, little quick little whistle. there's a strong challenge that goes in, and the player, let's say it is a reckless challenge. That whistle has got to be more than a peep. It's got to be a good, strong, shrill blast. And so everybody knows, oh, crikey, the referee's not happy about that one. Oh, he's in trouble. You know, those people that, when they hear the whistle, know the tone, understand what the tone means.
Yeah, and it's the same with restarts in play as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can use the whistle. Let's say, for example, there's a free kick on the halfway line. You're expecting a big kick going into the box. So you as the referee would put yourself in that position. So you need that bit of time and to be able to communicate with the player that's going to be taking that free kick. A nice quick blast on the whistle that way.
Would you use the whistle for restart of a goal at a goal kick?
Restart of a goal kick?
Hmm.
No, not necessarily.
Okay,
no.
that's fair.
Did I say goal kick then?
No, I did.
Oh, right. Okay, I thought I got myself all confused.
I'm just going to go through a little list of, you know, when you might use the whistle, when you might not.
Go on, so then.
Would you use it for a goal kick?
Goal kick, no, I wouldn't.
Would you use it for the award of a goal kick?
For the award of a goal kick, only if it was contested. I'm
glad you're thinking about it. But you don't get that much time when you're out there on the field of play to think about it, do you?
Yeah, no. So, for example, if there was a challenge or a tackle, two players coming together very close to the goal line and it goes over and there's straight away a dispute, then I could feel there was a dispute going on, I would give a quick pop on the whistle, say goal kick, and shout it loudly. So it made it sound like the decision, I knew what the decision was going to be.
Is that an instinctive whistle or habit whistle?
No, I'd say that was a distinctive whistle because I can use it to control what potentially may flare up.
Okay, yeah. Don't want it to become a natural habit. You know, avoid those habits of overusing the whistle.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. What about corner kicks?
Corner kick, I wouldn't use it to give a corner kick unless it was a situation where there was a dispute about it and I could be a bit more clearer to the players and people watching the game as to what it was, just because there's a bit of disagreement going on amongst the players.
It helps decision making in those situations to use the whistle sometimes. Sometimes, not every time. Overuse of the whistle is irritating and sounds pedantic and over officious if we're not careful how we use it. You know, the ball's not in the right place. The throwing's not being taken in the right place. Overuse of the whistle when the ball, hang on a minute, I want you back here. You're 5 yards too forward. Can you not use your voice?
I would use the voice. Let's say, for example, on a throw-in, most players do take a cheeky few yards, which is fine, okay?
Yeah, I'm not worried about that too much.
I don't mind a few yards, but when they're taking 10, 15 yards and I've shouted on a couple of occasions, no, go back, go back, go back, or whatever, and they just don't hear it, or there you go, I'll blow the whistle and give it a few. No, go back a few. That's how I would use it in a throw-in.
I think it's...
That's the worst whistle ever. I just can't whistle.
Yeah, it's quite feeble, actually. But no, when I think about it, it's how we use the whistle when we use the whistle is what draws attention to our profile. Overuse of the whistle can dent your profile as a referee because people will lose, they will become disinterested. Oh, not again, ref. Stop blowing that damn whistle. You know, if you've got a game where there's 30 fouls, how many free kicks? Sorry, I just said how many there was. 30 free kicks. You've got 10 corners. You've got 10 throw-ins. You've got 10 goal kicks. You're using the whistle every time. You're using the whistle once a minute. In all those decision making,
it's going to dilute the effect, isn't it?
People will get fed up with, oh, we got a fussy one today. All I say is try to understand where the right value needs the whistle and deliver it. Yeah?
Yeah. Any more?
What about your body language?
My body language. I'm a great believer of stand proud, stand tall.
We're sat here now talking to each other across the table, social distancing applied, and we're looking at each other. Mm. We're understanding each other, aren't we?
That's because I'm falling in love with you, Rich.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
But the thing is about your what's the word I'm trying to say here? The body language, the key part of it is make eye contact.
Yeah.
People will understand that you're speaking to them. They will pay attention. If you're sort of looking, I don't know, down at the ground, or you're sort of showing a level of disinterest or embarrassment or shyness, people will pick up on that. So it's all about your personal confidence.
That's the key. It's the personal confidence thing.
It takes courage and confidence to deliver big decisions.
And this is a good tip for any new referees coming on, particularly younger new referees, because if you're 15, 16, 17, just coming into the game for the first time, and you're dealing with players that have maybe got a bit of a reputation to be a bit choppy, a bit loud, they're a bit older than you, it might be very intimidating for you.
Players who think they know better. Mm. You know, there's a level of control that's required. There's a level of, let's come together, let's have a conversation, let's try to meet halfway here, and I don't want you bossing me around. Yeah. I won't openly boss you around, but there is a level of taking control that's required by every referee.
I think as well, in terms of your body stature, your level of fitness will also be a signal to...
It adds to your credibility.
To your credibility.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Credibility is a big thing in the game for us as referees. It's getting the right place at the right time, making the right decision from being in that right place at the right time.
I may not get to the right place, but I do try to get there in time. I try to be on top of the ball as much as I can.
I also think that helps if they see that you're trying to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah. It helps. And there was a little bit of kidology in refereeing, if we know how to use it properly, and perhaps kidology, when we got a bit more time, then we'll use the theory of what we can do and how we can help ourselves.
So we're talking about man management as a referee. We've done the whistle. We've done the visual stuff.
Cards, signals.
Cards. What else?
Yeah. What about, we talked about self-discipline.
Yep.
What would you not do to a player? And what am I doing to you now?
You're pointing at me.
Single finger pointing at a player. You are belittling the player. Yeah. I would say, please don't do it.
Yeah.
Please don't point the finger. I mean, if you want the player, if you want to talk to me, hey, there's a different way of doing it. What am I now doing to you?
You're saying, whoa, wait there.
Yeah.
You've got your hand out in front of you.
Full hand out in front
of you. Any minute now, you're going to start singing, Stop in the Name of Love.
No, we don't do music on this podcast. And we're still not doing music. but what I'm trying to say is how you use your gestures, how you make contact with players, pointing the finger at a player directly, it will intimidate, it will fire up that player in the wrong way. But if you use a gesture, say, look, I'm not sure what happens, but you're not going to do that. You're not going to say that to me today. Whereas opposed, oi, and listeners will understand.
Well,
I'm using the finger to point at you. Oi, don't do that.
You're goading the player as well.
I think you are.
I think you're giving them ammunition to come at you.
We're talking about some life skills here as well, because you're in the office and, how do you use your gestures? How do you use your emotions? Mm. You wouldn't sit in the office, open plan office and say, oi, you over there, bring me a coffee. It don't work. It doesn't get people cooperating.
No, good point.
Yeah, and like I say, you do that.
Well, you know how it is. I have done in the past.
Is that being the boss, is it?
Sorry.
Okay. All right, so... There we go. There's a little insight into man management. There's a lot of things that link it.
We can go back to man management on another day, can't we?
Yeah. We will revisit that so many times because there are so many things that link into it. I mean, you talked about fitness, positioning. Mm. If you can link your fitness and positioning into your making of decisions, you're managing the game. You're managing players. You're selling decisions. And so consequently, your work rate. Have we ever talked about work rate around the field of play?
We've touched on it, but that is a episode in itself, isn't it?
Quick reminder.
Go on then.
What's your target for delivering decisions?
My target?
Target distance between you and the ball.
My target is maximum 5 metres.
Ooh, you're working furiously hard. And if you get that close to every decision, I'm impressed.
That's what I...
Super impressed. You shouldn't be refereeing. You should be probably doing a 100-metre sprint against Linford Christie.
Oh, right.
Well, Linford Christie, no, that shows my age.
I made a decision. When I came back after my 4-year hiatus, I made a decision to make sure that I was on top of the game a lot more. I probably am working myself a bit.
5 metres is too much, Darryl. You're asking too much of yourself, and I don't believe that's achievable.
What's your suggestion then?
My 10 metres? I would be a little bit kinder than that, and I would say when you're making decisions of foul or no foul, somewhere between 15 and 20 metres, think about that distance.
Really?
Yeah. Think about it. you know, you're not standing still when you're making decisions. So that 15 to 20 metres varies from wherever you are, from whatever's happened. The ball gets cleared from defence. They don't always play football out of defence at grassroots level. They will blast it 60, 70 yards upfield to play. You've got to get a position to make a decision. How are you going to get that position to make a decision? You know, you've got to work hard. You've got to close down that area where from where the ball has just come to where it's going to be played next. There's a decision to be made when the number 9 and the number 5 come into contact with the ball being cleared from defence. It's a 60-yard hoof from defence, and you've got to squeeze that distance down, because whilst you weren't 60 yards away from the ball being blasted up, you're now 30, 40 yards out of play. You know, out of position. So you've got to close that distance down. But sacrifice distance to get an angle is your first priority. Sacrifice the distance to get an angle. So long as you get that, you get a chance of making an accurate decision when the number 9 and the number 5 come into contact. You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah, and then obviously, absolutely. And what that will do is, A, it will save you on your work rate, but it will make your decisions a bit more credible.
It'll buy you a bit of time
and help you manage.
And you're still moving.
Yeah.
Never stop.
And obviously, ultimately, it helps you manage the game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because the demands, the expectation is what we're trying to deliver. You know, match the demands, and deliver expectation to satisfy everybody's, first. They've got a first for accurate decision making.
Man management is something that we can open up again on another episode. But right now, Rich needs to go because his car parking's just run out. So he's worried about getting a ticket. Oh, this is the beauty of the podcast. So we can talk about this kind of stuff, can't we?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
But we are approaching our 20-minute target, so that's pretty good. Hopefully you've enjoyed what we've talked about today. Again, we will reopen this one because there is so much more we could talk about with man management. If you've got any questions or you would like to put some suggestions to us, or you've got something going on that you would like us to discuss in a bit more detail, then please contact us through the website, which is refereesworld.co.uk. And don't forget, you can listen to us every Friday from 5 o'clock when the episode drops, either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or indeed on the website, which I've just mentioned, refereesworld.co.uk.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World.
Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk
or search iTunes for Referees World.